And here we are now on our second show. Can we say this is a show? It is a show, right?
I think it's a show.
Second episode on Ina and Heather podcast. We still don't have a name. We're still on it. Hi, guys. I hope you're well. Thank you, everyone that are now live with us on YouTube. If you don't know, you can be live with us every Friday at 12:34. I have to say, this is Heather's idea. I loved it. But if you want to join us on our podcast and simply listen to us, well, you can do it on inamaf.com/podcast. And then you can choose. Do you want to follow us on, what's the name of the stream for iPhone? I don't know the name. Well, you can do on Spotify, Deezer, and all of those, SoundCloud and all those.
iTunes,
yes.
That's the one.
So we are everywhere, basically. And I want to know, Heather, it's been a week from our first chat. How was it? Or, yeah, how was your week after this special moment?
My week has been good. I have, I've been doing a lot of things.
Right.
And all of them are feeling overwhelming because I want to do so many and there's not enough time in the day.
Right. That's something. I mean, we can talk about this for 3 hours. You know that, right?
Any day, but there isn't enough time.
Yes, exactly. So how do we manage time, Heather? Please teach us how we do it.
Listen, if I knew, I would tell everyone.
Right. I have clues. I can tell because I've been trying a few things about managing time and everything.
Yes. And wanting to do all the things all the time.
Doing the things all the time. Let's start with priorities then. Do you think it's a good start?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So making a list of priorities. That's what I usually do. So before I start my week, writing down, like seriously, take a whole page blank, just, you know, vomit everything you have in your head. Like, what is important this week that I cannot miss? It needs to happen this week. So big list. And then keep going until you have like really no more ideas. Then you pick this list and you open your agenda, your weekly schedule. And then you spread all those things, you know, when you think you would be able to do a few things. Obviously, life happens. We can always adjust things and reschedule things. But as long as you have like a scheme or a sort of...
like a plan.
Yeah, like at least some plan, you know. You cannot not start your week with no plan. At least some plan. And so, then you adjust, you know, along the way.
There is a thing that my mom says all the time, and I think she picked it up at work. I don't remember. And the quote is, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. I like it. She's a wise woman.
Not just a hat rack, my mom.
I know why you picked all those wisdom, you know. This is from family genetics.
It's gotta be. And so I think that is such a good way to look at it, because you can do, and that's what I've been doing lately, is just spiraling out and trying to do this and this and this and not really devoting like time to one thing specifically. Mm-hmm. And I think with your plan there, you spread it out over a few days. And I think that myself included, people get caught up in the day to day where mm-hmm. I have, you know, you take that list you've made at the beginning of the week and you try to accomplish it on Monday.
Right.
And then when you don't get everything done on Monday, because at one point in your life, you were able to do everything on the list on a Monday.
Right.
By Tuesday, you're already discouraged because you haven't finished this long list of things.
Mm-hmm. Now you have a packed Tuesday with Tuesday's tasks plus Mondays.
Well, exactly. And I think that's overwhelming and it makes you want to stop.
Totally. Yeah. It makes sense. But at the same time, well, as I said, life happens. And I guess we have to bring, you know, that special compassion pack, you know, and always understand that, okay, I wasn't able to do that on Monday because life happened. And that's okay, you know. That's the thing. We keep beating ourselves up all the time for everything, you know. You're supposed to be perfect and follow all the rules. And it's okay to not follow everything all the time, but it's not okay to not have any plan. Like, you need something to start from. So if you cannot do everything that you scheduled to do on Monday, you try to do on Tuesday, and maybe not on Tuesday, but what if you spread everything throughout the whole week, right? Maybe if you finish Monday things up to Friday, then you're not, it's not that bad. So it's maybe just a different perspective.
I think that's very true. And I think that I need to kind of ease up on the things that aren't getting finished. There is a Twitter thread that's floating around the internet right now.
Okay.
And it is I think it's a psychologist who says this point. And she's saying that the work-life balance is not that we have to be perfect at everything in our lives and everything we want to do. It's that your life is made up of juggling balls, which you've heard of.
Yeah.
And so what she suggests is that some of the balls are glass and some of the balls are plastic or rubber.
Okay.
So it's not that family always comes first or work always comes first or faith always comes first. It's that you need to know which bubbles are or which balls are going to break if you drop them and which will bounce.
Loved this analogy. It makes so much sense. It's so true. Because, yeah, like we are always thinking like maybe this is the priority, but actually which one is going to break first? Like which one is my, you know, real priority at the moment? And I think, honestly, looking at this from this point of view, I can conclude that our biggest difficulties or mistakes, would say like that, is that sometimes we don't really know what our priorities are. So, you know, instead of looking of, you know, all those strategies on how to be more productive and stuff, I think it's like one step back, maybe two steps back. Like, who am I? What are my priorities? What are my goals? What I'm trying to achieve in order to be successful? Because if you don't know yourself and you don't know your priorities, you're definitely going to have some trouble adjusting your agenda and your tasks in your activities.
Yeah.
So first things first, like, who am I? What am I trying to achieve? What are my priorities? Because it's very easy for us to get confused with people's priorities, right? Life's priorities, society's priorities. Like, example, society's priorities. They might say, well, your priority once you finished, let's say, high school is going to college. Like, this is what they told us. This is your priority. And then if you don't ask yourself, wait a minute, is this my priority really? Like, do we take a moment to question that? Or after a certain age, your priority is to have babies. You're supposed to be a mother. Like, really? Is this my priority? So if you don't ask yourself, you keep going and then you're leaving people's priorities. And then at the end, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not fulfilled. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then, like, what do I have to show for it? Is that, and I find I'm learning that more now in my 30s, is that if you are doing something and you are not behind it, if you are not feeling you want the end goal, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And, sounds easy.
It sounds easy and it can be so simple. You know, if you don't feel like going out for dinner and your friends are like, hey, we're going out for dinner. But in your heart, you're like, I'm just, you know, take away anxiety and depression reasons, but just I'm having a good day, but I don't feel like doing this. Then
ooh, this is big.
Just stay right home.
Honey, you're talking about something really important now, which is gut feelings, intuition. And yeah, I'm happy to hear more about it because I feel like you have some sort of skills on this field. And I would love to hear more about, you know, your thoughts on this, because I guess in general, we are so lost. We are so not in touch with ourselves and we lose this gut feeling and or this intuition, so to speak, that, you know, when the situation happens, we are like, yeah, everybody's going, so I'm going too, where, you know, you actually didn't really want to go. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's a matter of looking out for your own best interest. You know, I think that you shouldn't just follow the crowd because that's what the crowd is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where people get into trouble and they get into situations where they shouldn't be because they have ignored their own intuition of, I shouldn't be here. I don't want to be here, but this is where we are and this is what I have to do to continue to be here. Mm-hmm. And so you got to remember that the fear of missing out is kind of a weird construct to make people do things. And so it's a matter of thinking, what do I need at this moment? What am I doing tomorrow? What are my, you know, what is my day goal? What is my week goal? What is my month goal? And are these decisions going towards that or away from it? Because sure. Regardless of if you start now or start later, it's always going to be a month in a month's time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what are you putting in between your days?
So true. So true. Just before we continue with that, because I think this is huge, I just want to remind them that this conversation is going to be here on YouTube. So whoever is watching us now, you can always come back to this conversation later if you feel like you need to follow with the subtitles. Now, YouTube give us this tool with the subtitles so you can follow it. But also, this is going to be available on our podcast. So in amara.com/podcast, you choose the streaming and you can hear or listen to it later when you're driving, when you're, you know, walking your dog or at the gym, whatever.
Maybe when you're cooking a meal and you just don't want to be alone in the kitchen.
Perfect. We're going to be there with you. So reminders done. I find that this is an ongoing task, you know, keep hearing yourself and understanding what do you really want for your life and what is actually society's and people's expectation. Because it's not easy because we are not taught this, you know.
No.
Like teachers or schools or even our parents, like poor parents, they also don't know how to do it, you know. So nobody teaches how to listen to our own voice and our inner guidance. And then here we are in our 30s trying to figure out, you know, how to sleep properly, how to eat properly, and how to have proper goals, you know. Like, it's time, you know, I was supposed to know this like ages ago, but here we are.
And I feel like those were the biggest rules of things as a child. It was, you know, eat this, you have to eat this, get your vegetables, go to bed. And
now, right.
You fight against it. I don't want anything to do with it. And now that I have complete autonomy over my life, I want to go to bed early. You know? Slam the door in the day.
Paradoxical, isn't it? Like, because, you know, when I started to be self-employed and run my own business, this was a belief I had. Because I remember, like, well, I love sleeping. Like, this is, like, real love for me. Like, if you give me, you know, spare time, what am I going to do? I'm going to sleep for sure. But I remember when I was, like, in college and living my, you know, busy life, you know, going to college and working at the same time, always different jobs. I always had a specific time to go to sleep and to wake up. And I was always thinking, one day I'll be able to wake up, you know, whenever I want and go to sleep whenever I want, you know, wishing, when is this day gonna happen? And then once I started working for myself, this was the first thing. I'm like, I don't want alarms, you know, just fuck it. You know, I'm gonna have like my own life now. And then, you know, you can keep going for a while like this. Yeah, this is wild. But then once you start, you know, age is coming and then, you know, you want to achieve more. So you need to start thinking about how can I optimize my time in order to be more productive, but in a smart way, right? Mm-hmm. You want to break the machine. You want to keep going with a good machine. So this is, I would say, something new for me, Heather. I didn't know how to handle this before. And I wouldn't say I know now. I'm always learning. I'm always trying different things, trying different diets, trying different patterns for my sleep in order to be, you know, my full potential. Because if you're not aware, if you just press the automatic button, you know, of your of the life, you just keep going like a zombie. And then when you see 30 years are passed, and then you haven't really achieved anything.
Well, and I think that's interesting because, like evolutionarily, we came from having absolute chaos, right? And so people have evolved to have this, we have a 9-to-5 system where Monday to Friday, everyone in the world basically assumes that you can work 5 days a week and we get a weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's different countries that have different rules, but for the
in the Western world, so this is how it works here.
Yeah, in the Western world, we're very familiar with a 5 day on, 2 day off work week and 8 hours a day of work. Mm-hmm. And I think like this was the answer to like this was part of the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. where people had been working 12-hour days. So to cut from that to the 8-hour day was fantastic. So you would, you know, you had a labor job, mm-hmm. and so you would show up, you would use your body for 8 hours, mm-hmm. and then they would assume you sleep for 8 hours, and then you have another 8 hours of leisure, which we can come back to later because
that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, laundry isn't leisure to me. You know, like doing my dishes is not leisure time. I'm not
exactly
enjoying this. It's not a good balance.
Oh, studying sometimes, yeah, studying. But anyways, that's another topic.
Right. And so this worked great, but now our occupations have evolved to be all day jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things, and if you're not at your desk for 8 hours, you're still thinking about your problems in the car. You're still spending 2 hours driving to work.
So true.
A day, you know, so you're actually spending more time in this work scenario and less time doing anything that brings you life. Right.
But then it comes to a specific point here that is, what if job doesn't have to mean pain? What if job is purpose and it's service? Because that's another part of you. Then you wouldn't have to feel, you know, all this load, you know, in your back, like, oh gosh, I have to go to work. Maybe you can, you know, do different things that you actually love.
And that's where I want to be. You know, that's the life I dream of. Mm-hmm. And it comes back. I am going to circle this back to sleep, I promise.
We're going to get in there.
But for me, it's finding the purpose during the day. Like, I need a reason to go to bed at night because I want to get up and do something. Mm-hmm. And so I had found myself in the 9-to-5 cycle. And everything I had just described was obviously a personal anecdote of an hour travel plus 8 hours a day plus an hour travel. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to try to sleep after that. And so I found during that time, I would sleep as late as possible in the day and then wake up quickly, get ready quickly, and then run to the bus. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if I worked at, I think 9, I would have to leave my house at 7:30, but I could get up at 7:15, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and still make that. Then after I stopped working 9-to-5, I found myself getting up at 5:30 in the morning. The sun came up, I got up, and I realized this is a full day that I can enjoy. What do I want to do with the day?
Mm-hmm. And so much it's free time. Like, let's fill it up with good stuff.
Anything good. And so I would find if I got up at 5:30, by 9 o'clock, I had already done more than I would accomplish most days. Mm-hmm. And that sense of accomplishment propels you to do everything else throughout the day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I find that I've been reading a lot about it, and I even found a 5 a.m. club. Have you heard about it? 5 a.m. club?
No.
People that wake up at 5. It exists. It's real. You can Google it. 5 a.m. club. I think there is a book, actually, there is a book, 5 a.m. club. That's why it's like a book club. And yeah, people that wake up at 5 and they say their life have completely changed because of this little difference. But obviously, it's not like something little that encompasses all the rest. So like 1 hour earlier that you wake up, you change completely everything. Like obviously, what time you go to sleep, plus the quality of your sleep, plus the quality of your brain and your thoughts and your energy, plus everything you start accomplishing. Like, it's like a, how you call it, like a domino, you know, one thing brings to the other.
Yeah, the domino effect.
Perfect. So it exists. If anybody is interested in this, just Google it, 5 a.m. club. I'm not there yet, I confess, but I've been watching my sleep really, really closely. And I've been thinking about buying, I've heard about a ring, which is called Aura Ring, I guess. Aura Ring. Let me Google it. I think it's called, Aura. O-U-R-A. Aura Ring.
Yes.
Have you heard of this?
No, but I want to hear more.
I don't really know too much about it because I've heard about it like this week and I've been searching because apparently it's a ring that it tracks your sleep, but in a very deep way, and you can connect to your Apple Watch, which I don't have. So I've been like thinking, should I wait for Black Friday and get it? Oh, you have it. So just Google it, Aura Ring, and then she's doing it right.
Excuse me a moment.
Yeah, and well, you can see here the headline, the most accurate sleep and activity tracker. Yes, I want it. A ring, I know. Isn't it amazing? So
it's amazing.
That's the thing. Like nowadays, we have so many gadgets, you know, to track our sleep and to track our, because this is mainly brain waves, right? You want to have brain waves. I talk a lot about this with my students because as a neuro language specialist, we always try to find good brain waves to our brain in order to learn more. So we try to boost our dopamine, for example, with our gratitude list. So who has students who, you know, make a full gratitude list at the end of the day in English? Yes, I do.
That's so good, though. That's two skills, English and gratitude. And if you are forced to practice gratitude, your English will get better.
Well, that's my point. Let's do like two things at the same time.
So, and I'm so into this idea. Wow, they are expensive.
They are.
There's a cheaper one. Sorry, I saw the one that was $1,000.
Well, there are more expensive ones. There are cheaper ones. You can go for the ones. I mean, I have to search. I haven't really had time to search for prices, but you there are all of them.
It's because I chose the one with the diamonds.
Okay, so there are, you know, options with diamonds if you wish. Everybody's got their, you know, taste. So I think it suits you.
I have expensive taste.
That's why I told you, like, this suits you, absolutely. I think you should get a diamond one.
You know what? I will. And I'll tell you why. I adore all of these devices that track my vitals.
Mm-hmm.
I find it helps because I'm able to make a game of it and I'm competitive. And so I will compete against myself any day of the week. So right now my Fitbit is set, or it's an Apple Watch. But I have to do 30 minutes of exercise a day. I have to stand for 1 minute for 12 different hours. Mm-hmm. And I have to reach a certain amount of calories.
And so you have a daily goal.
Yeah, a daily goal. And so if I hit that, then it does a little dance for me. And that's really all I need.
A little dance on your watch. Perfect. Yes, they accomplished.
You know, and then, but it's just like putting another day in the pocket because you can really see, I found even from the beginning of the tracking, how much better I've gotten, because it will just track an outdoor walk. Well, now it tells me what my speed is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, if I could do this in whatever, 10 minutes yesterday, I should be able to do it in 9 minutes today.
Mm-hmm.
For no other reason than to entertain myself. But like, that's the motivation that I need to do these ridiculous things.
But you need to measure things in order to progress. You see, like this week, for example, right? You know, I've been on a very special diet for about 2 weeks. And I was really, you know, hesitating, checking my weight on a scale. And I was like, I don't really want to see it, you know. But then I had to, because I had to send all the stats for my doctor. And then, well, I didn't really feel that I was losing weight. But then once I went to the scale, I was like, 2.5 kilos less. I was like, yeah. I can do it, you know. I felt so motivated to keep going. But, you know, if you cannot measure, you don't really have an idea about what's going on. So this was like a little lesson of the day, you know, like, yeah, like just go measure things, because otherwise you're lost. You can know, you can not see progress if you do not measure things. And yeah, I even teach my students, like at the beginning of the course, you have to kind of give a sort of grade. Let's say, how is your speaking from 0 to 10? How is your listening from 0 to 10? And so on with writing and reading. And then we have this kind of map. And then you keep going, like giving yourself these numbers. And then you can see your progress, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you can, I'm really thinking about getting an Apple Watch specifically about this. Because I cannot go to the gym at the moment because obvious reasons, right? Like COVID, we cannot go. Yeah. But I feel like I'm the most productive on my workout if I am at the treadmill.
Okay.
But I do not have one. I have a water hoover at home, which I didn't buy, right? My lovely spouse did. And I'm like, okay, it is an expensive thing. I'm going to give it a try. But I'm like, you know, like
it is not for everyone. A rowing machine is not for everyone, and I think that's fair. Like, come on.
I feel guilty, like I feel like I should be enjoying it because it's expensive, and I'm not really buying a treadmill at the moment. But going to the measuring thing just really quickly, I feel like when I'm at the treadmill, I know like how quickly I'm walking, so I know already that if I am walking on six kilometers an hour, I know it's good. I feel my heartbeat. I can start sweating. And then I can go a little bit further, like 7 or even 8, and start running. And my max until, like, by now was like 9, running on number 9. And I know I can go further, but I should keep going on my workout. But if I'm walking around, like, my neighborhood, I don't know how quick am I walking. And then, of course, I'm tricking myself, going slower, and I'm like, I'm tired, you know. And then it's not the same. So if you do not track the speed, obviously, I'm not going to have the same results. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I fully support you in your Apple Watch ring combo.
I'm saving for it.
My only thought would be wait for the second generation of rings, mm-hmm. because Apple, I don't think they have the same finesse as they did with their former CEO. So I think you wait for the first round of product to roll out.
Okay.
Let people wear it, find all the problems, and then when they make Apple Ring 2, that's when you make your move.
So do you think you're going to have an Apple Ring at some point?
Me? Probably.
They should. Come on. The Apple.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's not even an Apple product.
That's not even Apple. I can see. Well, they have. It just says it's my ring. It's not even Apple. Is Apple Watch on their second generation already?
Apple Watch, I think, is working on 6th.
I'm so not into Apple Watch, as you can see.
Listen, I'm angry at Apple right now. They have done me really dirty.
What happened?
My phone that I had an iPhone 8, mm-hmm. and I didn't drop it. I didn't drop it in water. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I upgraded my internet one day so that we could stream properly.
Yeah.
And I went to my phone, and Evan. Boop. And I went to open an app and it crashed. And I went to open another app and it crashed. And I thought, that's weird. Mm-hmm. I know what to do because I've seen IT shows. I will turn it off and turn it on again. So I turned it off and it never turned back on.
No way. No way.
And so
I remember you were on this dilemma with your phone, like you wanted a different color. So what was the outcome of it?
Well, what happened was I took that phone and I had to wait, I think, 3 weeks to go to an Apple store. Mm-hmm. I went in and I said, what can we do? This is a year and a half old. I haven't ruined it like I've ruined others. What can you do for me? Mm-hmm. And they basically were like, fuck you, nothing.
No way. Really? Yeah. But Apple, they are usually really comprehensive, like in so many different ways. You can even change for a new one if you have a broken screen, like cracked.
Yeah. They were like, no, it's just dead. I have gone to that same Apple store before with a broken phone. Mm-hmm. Somebody messed up the order. They accidentally gave me a free phone. And the person was like, ah, just go.
Really?
Yeah, really. And so that's why I couldn't believe I took a thing I hadn't ruined to a store that's normally like has so good customer service. And the girl was like, Now I normally get served by a guy and I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
Probably. But
I was not pleased. And so I still needed a phone for work and life because that's how we are. And I also
works.
Like, I want to stop calling it a phone because I don't speak to anybody like this. And if we're going to name it after the app that we use the most on it, like, you know, call it the Instagram. Can you pass me my Instagram? I need that.
Can you pass me my WhatsApp?
Yeah. What's that?
You know what? I saw a few days ago a guy saying, like, if you ask a kid to do a phone sign, like, for example, you come and say, pretend you are answering the phone. You know what the kid would do? They all did like this. Well, the ones who are listening to us, they would not know what we're doing, but basically
they hold like their this. Hand up to their ear flat.
Perfect. Flat. And then what do we do? 80s girls, like we are from the 80s. I do like this, right?
Yeah, because that's a finger. Phone shape.
But we don't really have this kind of phones anymore. So
we're doing our pinky out and thumb out where our three middle fingers are closed into a fist.
Thank you for explaining that.
Okay.
So yeah, this is like how, you know, older people do it. But nowadays, this sign doesn't make sense. So people like, okay, answering the phone or even like this, right? And I was in shock. I was like, no way. This is not how you answer a phone, please.
That's so funny.
Yeah, kids nowadays, they're like that.
Maybe just hold their finger to their Bluetooth.
Yeah, or even like this, because when you talk on WhatsApp, you can just press the button and then you just talk like that, you know, because you're sending voice messages. So this is like answering the phone right now, or basically sending voice messages.
Now get this, because I've just realized that on my watch I can send messages back.
Oh, so, true, you can talk like that.
And so I can hold up my wrist to my face and speak. And I don't know if you had Inspector Gadget in Brazil.
We did.
Oh, good. Yes. Can you have that
watch? Doctor, do, 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 do. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, yeah.
I love technology, but just to remind you, you didn't let us know what happened to your phone.
So, nothing happened. It's in a box now. It's done.
You got the phone now. You got like all this trouble. By the end, you got a new phone. Did you get a new phone?
I had to leave the Apple store and try not to yell at anybody. Right. And then I went to my like a phone provider and I upgraded to I got an iPhone 11 Pro. So it's got the good cameras. It's got the three cameras.
Love
but camera. It's not a big, it doesn't have a big face. So the Pro Max has the biggest face and the best cameras. But like, that they're expensive. Devices are very expensive here, and also phone plans are very expensive.
Someone knows how to make money in the world. Like, it's not me. Yeah.
Apple done it.
Apple have done it already. So,
all this to say that I'm stuck with Apple because I have a Mac. I do design work, and all of my photos are now in the cloud. So they've got me. And that's why the business model has changed. So when 5 years ago I had a broken phone, they were trying to help me. Now when I have a broken phone, they're like, well, you're going to find your way to get a new one.
Mm-hmm,
we'll find a way.
And that's the thing. That's why I told you, like, Apple already knows how to make business. Like, we are all stuck on them. And even, like, I know many people say, yeah, I don't like iOS. I like Android, blah. Once you try iOS, it's hard to go back to Android. Like, this is my own opinion. Like, I've seen this happening. My husband, trust me, he would never go to Apple. He was such an Android. And he was like always with these arguments, you know, saying like how much, you know, Samsung was better than an Apple. And I was like hearing it for hours, like, yeah, you're not convincing me. Keep going yourself with your Samsung and I'll be here happy with my Apple. That's all fine. But then one day he woke up one morning and saying like, yeah, maybe I want to be an Apple group. Like, I want to be part of this community.
Team Apple.
And now he is with his iPad everywhere. You know, he's on his Mac the whole day long and obviously on his phone and already searching for an Apple Watch. So, like, honestly, if he's on this way, trust me, I guess half of the society will be the same, because he was really, really addicted to Samsung, and now here he is. So trust me, Steve Jobs and other guys, they know how to do it. Yeah.
It's, I mean, I see the benefit in iCloud just because I like having things everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I like, if I answer something on my watch, then when I get back to my phone, the answer is there for the next person, so I don't forget what I've said. I mean, all of that is beautiful.
Honey, AirDrop. AirDrop is the best thing happened in technology.
It's true.
You know, how did I live? How have I lived for so long without AirDrop? I mean, I can copy something on my computer and paste on my phone.
How old-fashioned.
But I mean, honestly, this is just so handy, and I cannot live without it anymore.
Would you like to hear the story of how I learned how to AirDrop?
Yes, I would.
You'll enjoy this. So, I was living in London.
Long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And most of the time.
We had gone to see Priscilla of the Night. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't. Oh, is that a drag queen?
It's a musical.
It's a drag queen.
But there were drag queens in it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No.
I think Priscilla is the main drag queen.
Priscilla is the main drag queen, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the whole story. There was a lot of glitter and there were drinks involved.
A lot of glitter and makeup.
It was a fun show. Mm-hmm. And so what I had been doing was I had turned the flash off on my phone and I had been taking sneaky pictures of the performance because you're not supposed to do that. But also I have a bad memory. And so I want the pictures.
Lovely excuse.
So you do as you do. And I had been sitting next to a few gay men because, again, this was a drag show.
Right.
And at intermission, we had gone outside, you know, fresh air and whatnot. And I was looking over my pictures and some of the guys who had sat next to us came over and were like, did you take pictures of that? Like, you need to send them to me immediately. And so I was like, okay, like, what's your number? And they were like, no, just, you can just AirDrop it. Boop, 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 boop. And so that's when I realized you don't have to share phone numbers with everyone.
Was he gay or was he cute? What was the situation?
So he was very gay. And
because I was thinking this is a nice way to start a conversation with a cute guy, you know?
No, because he also showed me what Grindr was, and that was the first time I learned what Grindr was.
Right.
Have you heard of this?
A Grindr? I guess so.
A Grindr is a dating app for men.
Oh, right. So I was thinking about something different. Thank you for explaining.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the Grindr. Well, ideally, like, that's the idea of it, but okay. It's for men to date each other.
Okay.
And so the funny thing about it is that it shows how far away people are from you, mm-hmm. very specifically. So when he showed me the map at the musical, it was surrounded by gay men because so many people there like that show.
Of course. And so they were there to pick each other up. So useful. Honestly, I love technology so much. So, how come? Like, you know, you thought Tinder was something like high tech, right? Come on, look at these guys. They are like in another level already.
Well, the reason that, because people have thought, why isn't there Grindr for women? Mm-hmm. But it's because men are predators. And if it showed a woman online, someone would just walk up to them. And like, women don't always want that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We don't. Just don't do that.
No, we don't like that. And that's why there's no Grindr for women.
makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of having specific apps for women like Uber. Did you know? I don't know if you have it in Canada. We do have female Uber in Brazil. You have it?
No.
Well, this is for safety reasons, so maybe that's why you guys don't need it. Yeah.
Listen, we probably do need it, but tell me more.
Well, I know I have a friend. She used to live here in my city. Now she's in Ireland, by the way. And she was driving it. She was driving because she wanted to have some extra money. And then I told her, like, oh, be careful, you know, like you're driving people around. She was, nope, I just pick up women. Pick up women. Does that make sense? Or does that sound two different ways? Like,
no. It's that still works for like normal.
Or picking up as an Uber. Okay, that's what she did. And well, that's all I know. She was picking only women, and that was safe for her, and also safe for the ladies that she was driving around. And I found it incredible because I have friends that live in São Paulo that they just do not pick Uber. They just don't use this service because they're afraid of having a man driving. And anyways, I told them, girls, there is this possibility. They were amazed by that. I don't really know if they used it, but I know it exists and it's possible. So yeah.
I love that.
I will
say, so I haven't had a bad experience in an Uber.
They said here the name of the app is Lady Driver, you see? So for the ones who wants to try, here we go.
Lady Driver. That's awesome. Helpful. Yeah. What do you want? A lady driver.
So
I have only had a lady driver, I think 4 times in the many years I've been using Uber. And 2 of those times, it was the same woman who picked me up at the same spot. I was getting my passport and I had to take an Uber back from Gatineau. So Gatineau is in Quebec, so that's a different province.
Right.
And so there are less Ubers there. Mm-hmm. So I think she was the only one working in Gatineau that day.
Possibly.
And so I always sit in the back seat because obviously safety. But she made me sit in the front with her. And I was like, all right, like, you know, for your safety too. Cool. She had like a series of stuffed animals on the dash. And so I wasn't really concerned about safety on that one. But it is interesting because there are no lady drivers. I wouldn't feel safe as a driver with a bunch of like drunk males in the back.
Mm-hmm, me neither. So yeah, that's a brilliant idea. And again, another reason why I love technology, because it enables us to be so creative and do so many different things. Like Uber is one thing. Like we can see the revolution in taxis and also revolution in hotels with Airbnb and so many. I mean, Amazon, you can tell me more about what you think about Amazon.
What do you want to know?
So yeah, I find this world with apps and technology so cool, because like my students, for example, we use an app which is called Anki, which helps us with our spaced repetition system. So it keeps everything we learn, you know, in our long-term memory. And it's an app, I mean, it's a program. So like, how did they do years ago with all this, you know? And I keep thinking like, how it's going to be in maybe 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now. And I'm going to be thinking like how my life was miserable, you know, without all those technologies that we're going to have.
Have you seen there's a show on Netflix called The Feed?
Yes, I have. I think I haven't really watched everything, but I have a glimpse of what
it is. You get the gist of it. So what they have is, instead of having a device, a phone, a watch, whatever, a screen, all of the stats and statistics are stored in you.
You told me about this. You were the one who introduced me to this show.
I know, because I think it's an interesting idea.
I know. No, I remember now.
Right. And so what would happen is everything that you would think would appear in front of you as sort of a hologram, a light. You could still see through it, but you could see colors and movement and what have you.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to look at your memories, you could pull out a memory and it would be like a photo and you could watch it move and you put it into the sky in front of you. But if you went to the hospital, the nurse would be like, what are your stats? And they would pop out of your head and like around the side, and it would show like damage and stuff, like a video game kind of.
Do you like this idea? Because I kind of like it, but it kind of makes me scared.
I love the idea in theory. I'm terrified of it happening to me in practice. But like, when you look at that, my, you know, my great grandmother,
I know
she would have seen, right? And so I guess the things that we will see in the next 20 years, we can't imagine.
You see, I love the subject so much. And I hear so many podcasts and videos on YouTube about this, because, you know, this is a real issue for me, because I keep thinking like, when they discovered electricity or, you know, just the simple things, they were probably like terrified too. I was even hearing a guy saying that some groups or some people that have some sort of religion back then, they would say that you should not turn on the lights when it's dark, because you would be somehow offending God. Because if it's dark, it's supposed to be dark, and if it's light, it's supposed to be light. And you know, it could be some backward sort of thinking. But then this guy was saying that they were not actually totally wrong somehow, because of the way how we produce melatonin, you know, in our brains. Because if it's dark and we keep being stimulated by light, we are not producing melatonin in the same way. So of course we cannot think like I'm offending God, but there is something to do with how we produce our hormones. But at the same time, if we keep thinking like that, we're gonna never reach evolution. You know, we're gonna be always stuck at the same point, you know, hunting for food. I mean, we're supposed to go forward, you know. And I don't know. I think we should keep going forward, but at the same time, like, I don't want chips in my head, you know, SIM cards on my wrist. They say it's already real, and there are prophecies, you know. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to the church every Sunday, and they used to preach sometimes about the book of Revelations. I don't know if you had the chance to read it, but I used to go to group studies, you know, reading the book of Revelations and understanding the apocalypse and everything. And I remember my father explaining to me, I was like 11 years old, and he was telling me what was going to happen in the apocalypse. And then he was telling me about a chip. I didn't know what a chip was when I was 11, let's say 1996. It didn't really exist, but as he was reading it with me, he said, if there comes a time where they want to implant something, you know, on your skin, don't let them do it, because this is from the devil, yada, yada. And now I see all these things happening. I'm like, okay, this is in the Bible, but is it real? Is it not real?
Do you think that the people who are inventing the chips also read the same book?
If I have to guess, I would say yes. Because, I mean, it's a Bible. Everybody has, you know, it's reachable. You can get on Amazon.
Yeah, probably. Have a same-day ship. Get it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I am a walking Amazon advertisement.
I'm trying to help you with your coupons and vouchers and codes for you to get your discounts, because you deserve it.
Thanks. I know. I'm surprised they don't have just a loyal customer discount.
They should.
I digress. I wonder if some of these things are self-fulfilling prophecies.
You know? Tell me about it. Like, I think the conversation is going to be 2 hours long, honestly, because it's like, feed me with information.
Like, I think, so for example, have you ever seen this show Star Trek?
Yeah.
Okay. And so the things that they came up with in the 50s and 60s were futuristic. Yeah. And then, you know, we surpassed that kind of thing. And then we moved into, you know, the next generation and yada, yada, yada. And I think we saw that like Deanna Troi was an empath. And so her skill, like her superpower skill, mm-hmm. was being able to read other people and know what they're thinking and feeling. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a lot of people alive today who would identify as empaths, who resonate with other people's feelings, and they have that ability to read the subtle details in people. mm-hmm. you know, the subtle energies, the subtle movements. And so did a generation of people grow up watching her and thinking, yeah, me too? Or was that something that was based on stuff we already knew, and that's why that was an important character?
Well, if you're talking about Star Trek and Hollywood and all this industry, I'd say they know things we don't know. Come on. We're just the mass, right? We're just like...
the plebs.
Yeah. I mean, why they would tell me that they found another planet somewhere? Like, who are you? You know what I'm saying? So I guess they know things that we don't know. But this is an entire other subject. And I don't want this channel to be a conspiracy channel or something.
No,
like,
no.
I'm really, really on the subject. Like, my husband sometimes is like, stop watching conspiracy theories because, you know, you're going to damage your brain. But I love the subject. I like it. What can I do? I can help. You know,
I think,
like,
it's interesting.
I do too. Well... as I cannot say entirely for sure if it's one thing or the other, because I cannot prove anything. All I can do is just guess. So in us guessing is that Hollywood, they know things we don't know. I guess there is something to do with the suggestion too, because I think our mind is so powerful. We don't really have any idea yet what, you know, our capabilities are in regards to what our mind can do. So I think the suggestion thing is a point. There is something to it. Like, you know, if you keep watching people doing something, you end up doing it somehow because it's stored in your subconscious.
Well, I think that is very important on right. every level.
Right.
Just what you're seeing is becoming your subconscious mind. And I think mm-hmm. especially in this day and age of scrolling, you know, what images are we flashing at ourselves mm-hmm. and placing in our minds? You know, are you looking at things that make you happy or make you sad? Are we looking for things that are going to, you know, propel evolution forward?
Good call.
You know, and I think that's where we get a little lost because, and I mean, I look at kittens a lot as well, but.
You do. You keep staring at them, like, you know, the real ones and the image ones too.
The real ones that I scroll through. But I'm wondering if we should be, you know, looking at more.
Well, vision board is something that, you know, it helps my lovely students have theirs. Don't you, fast movers? You're supposed to, this is your homework. So you're supposed to have, you know, write down your goal, be very specific, write down evidences that will help you to understand that you achieved that goal. And then from there, you can start doing your visions and your images to help you to, you know, build the future image that you want to have for your life. So I was once studying about, I think I could say emotology in English, which is... there are some studies in our brains that says that we create our future through our limbic system. In our limbic systems, we storage image. And this is why it's so important to have clear images about where you want to be in future, because it's like a little matrix, like a little Lego you do, like in a certain quantum physics sort of way, you know.
It is.
In your limbic system, and obviously you have to work on it in order to make it happen. You're not just gonna blink an eye and then suddenly your dream house is there. Just
but you have to you have to want it on a molecular level. You know, you have to believe that that is the thing that you desire.
Yeah,
and I think it's interesting, and I find myself not in the sense of like I want a new house and I will get it this way. But I've always found, especially when exercising or doing things with my body for exertion.
Ooh, every athlete, professional ones, trust me, they do vision work before.
And I didn't know that that's what I was doing when I was doing it, because I've done mm-hmm. this since I was, you know, 8 or 9, because I would take dance classes. Mm-hmm. And when you're an 8-year-old in a ballet class, like, that is dry. It is boring. You know, there's no joy in standing up very straight. Yeah. And so for me, I like to perform. And so whenever I was, in the class doing the boring stuff. My mind was on a stage somewhere else dancing to fun music, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and that's the thing that gets you through it, is that this will be over soon, and eventually I'll get to do the other thing. Cool. And so I think it's interesting if we can focus on the end goal while you're doing the hard journey part, you're more mm-hmm. likely to get it.
I've read and seen so much of this subject for the last 10 years that, again, I'm not a specialist, but I'm very curious about it and how this works. And what they say is that it works as an electromagnetic field. So we have electrical as thoughts and magnetic feelings. So electromagnetics would be thoughts and feelings. So it doesn't matter if you just think about your dream house. You have to really, really feel it. And in details, smell the smell. How would it be, you know, when you are in your living room having a pint with your friends? Or what are you wearing and what are you feeling in that situation? And really bring it to your meditation practice. I mean, this is one thing. Again, I'm not a specialist. They say that it works.
I think you're getting close.
I'm trying my best, I have to say. I'm really into it because, come on, it must be a way to, you know, to live a very fulfilled and prosperous life. But how can we do this in a way that actually works, right? We have to go a few steps back, which is the hard work, which is understanding your limiting beliefs. Ta-da! Everything goes back to limiting beliefs, honey. And this is hard work. Trust me, hard work is not like, you know, really work and do spreadsheets and talk to your team and build a company. Build a company is easy. Ask me how to work on your limiting beliefs and I'll tell you. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's what's holding you back. And if you want to circle that back around to what we talked about at the very beginning, with the new 9-to-5 job, a lot of people thought that they could go in, put their head down and work. That was going to be enough for them. And so they didn't think to dream otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think our generation now is seeing 9-to-5 is not the funnest thing. And it's not exactly how I want to do it. And so I think a lot of us right now are breaking those beliefs of what a career is and what a, you know, what a professional is and how do you become a consultant? Like, these are things that you can just be and do, but we're so used to thinking you have to have a certain set of life.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to be too strict on it because we need to have creators, people really having good ideas and putting these ideas, you know, back to work to serve it in order to serve people. But in order to make these companies rule, you also need people to have, you know, to be employees, right? Like, you cannot just have entrepreneurs. You need lawyers. You need people to run companies too, because, you know, it's a balance. So because I see, this is a very important point. I see a lot of people trying to be an entrepreneur and it's just not their call. You know, they are supposed to do different things. They're supposed to work for someone, but obviously in a more fulfilling way, in a purpose way, in a way that they feel that they are helping that company, you know, that they are with the same values. Like, I have these values, the company has the same values. So I feel like I'm a part of a big change. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, absolutely, everybody wants to be entrepreneurs now and then. Who's going to do the work?
Yeah. But I think that there are some people who are called to be lawyers, just in the same sense that we're called to want to speak to others. One of my biggest mentors growing up, another woman named Heather, she had always planned to be a lawyer. And, you know, she could always give you a good argument. What my mom said about her was that she always had a good head on her shoulders.
Sounds good.
And so now, like, she is a very successful lawyer who argues for people's rights, and that's, you know, that's where she should be. And I think that that's her purpose there. Yeah. You know, so I shouldn't poo-poo all over 9-to-5 working situations. I just think there are other options, you know.
Yeah,
I
think exactly. Open up your mind.
There's just more things that you can do, and I think that a limiting belief is saying, I need to find a way to work 9-to-5. But do you?
Yeah, I think it's always a matter of questioning, because this is, again, something we're not used to. Question ourselves, like, I'm doing this way, but can I do it a different way, you know? So it's always a matter of questioning yourselves and, yeah, trying new things. And I know a woman, for example, in Brazil, she's a very famous coach, and she's a speaker, she's an author, she's very inspiring, but she used to have a very important career in laws, in being a lawyer. And she did her master's in New York, in Colombia. You know, she's all, you know, she's got good degrees and good knowledge and to be a good lawyer. She was working for a big company in Brazil. So apparently she had a very good career. She was successful, but internally she was very unhappy, very unhealthy. And, you know, somehow they fired her. So she was no longer a lawyer in that big company. And then she was in that moment where she should choose between pursuing this career, so finding another job as a lawyer, because she was very qualified for that, or should she go for a different path? And she chose to go to a different path, and now she's a speaker, and she helps people to find their own voice and find their purpose. But then now, after maybe 8 years that she's done that, she always reminds us that now she says that if she would decide, for example, to go back to being a lawyer, she said she would be okay with it, because now she's a different person. Now she would be a very good lawyer. She would do her best. She would wake up in the morning really with the idea of serving and being like aligned with who she is, even though with her tattoos and everything, but still being a lawyer. So it's always a matter of perspective, because you don't really have to really hate your job, you know, just because you work for a big company or big corporation. Maybe it's just a little shift. Maybe you just have to adjust and see your part, like you are part of that team or the company. So how can you bring better solutions? How can you bring different ideas? How can you inspire your team? You know, you can always be part of the revolution, still working on a 9-to-5 job.
I think especially when you bring something to a team, you can always work on yourself professionally. Hmm. You know, it's like I found myself in my first sort of bit of my career when I was doing mostly graphic design, I felt like I needed to prove something. I was doing it to prove who I was, if I was professional, that I could do this job or I'd be here. And I hated it. It made me miserable. And then once I started doing more marketing, I found a lot more passion in that, because I had more things I could do, and I could do this over here and go. There was just a bigger variety of skills that I could work on. And my boss at the time was like, great, do it. So if I wanted to make a video for this, we could do that. If I wanted to make a billboard for that, we could do it. And so I found the joy of learning all these different things in my job made me so much better at my job. And so now if I were to go back and work as a graphic designer full time, even part time, I find a lot more joy in it, because, you know, this is fun and I can be creative in this little bit, and then I don't have to focus my entire time on this. You know, we'll get it done and go on.
Yeah.
And so I think it might be Google, actually, their staff, and 3M did it too. I listened to a documentary last night, and they give their staff a percent of their time at work to work on their personal projects.
Oh yeah, I've heard these companies do that.
So I think 3M was the first one, and they gave their staff, I think, 10 or 15% of their work time to do whatever they wanted to. And so that's when you get to do all your personal stuff. You get that out of the way, and then you can do anything that brings you passion and joy. So at least you're still pumping those endorphins into your mind of, I'm working on my passion.
Like that
idea. Oh, good. Then I need to work on my work stuff, where you're still already in that flow zone of doing solid work.
Mm. I really like the idea. And it's, of course, big companies, they have more opportunities to do so, because they have more resources. So obviously, so, but I do think that multinational companies and, you know, these big companies, if they have the chance to do so, yeah, please do. Please help your employees to feel more fulfilled and more, I don't know, feeling like working for you, you know. So, yeah. You know, if I don't look at the time, I will never really realize that we have been more than an hour chatting, as we usually do. Yeah. And again, this is a reminder. They said here, if we let you two go, you can go into, we get dark, it gets dark. It's true. It's true.
We can.
It's a real possibility, honestly. And that's also a good reminder to tell the guys, people who are watching or listening to us, why we decided to do it. Because this is what we do, guys. When I get to talk to Heather, we are just talking like for hours, and I'm always thinking, I should have recorded it. So instead of doing it, you know, we decided to do it live so you guys can participate with us. And, you know, we make sure we never forget to press the rec button. You know,
it's a learning process. We're going to figure it out.
It is. And but it's here, it's happening. And it's also a great excuse, you know, to come and talk to my lovely friend, because, you know, we're not living close, but right? She's in Canada and I'm here in Brazil. And I wish we had more we had more opportunities to, you know, be close to each other, like, you know, really in presence, like see each other. But if this is what we've got, let's, you know, take this opportunity and chat. So because if we don't have like every Friday we're gonna chat, then we're like, okay, I'll talk to you like next week, and then a month passes and we haven't chatted.
Life gets in the way, and what we've done by making this a priority, we put it on the list that every Friday we will do it.
Yeah, then we know that there are people waiting for it, and they are expecting, and they are following our conversations and get to know us a bit more as well in a different level. You know, I don't really have another platform or another way to bring people more about, you know, what I think about life, and, you know, share my friends with them. Because usually, you know, on Instagram, I'm giving them some tips. Obviously, on Instagram stories, you have the opportunity to show a bit more about your life. But podcast, it's just so real, you know, and it's, you know, another level. You can really understand people, chatting to them, plus practice their listening skills. So
yes, and that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. So, darling, this was our second episode.
Round two.
How was it?
Complete. Yeah, I hope we talked in a semi-linear manner.
Oh, no, we didn't, but I'm not expecting. I'm not even going to have this expectation, because first, you're going to be frustrated. Okay. Second, it's just not us.
It's not us. Does anyone have any questions they would like to ask while we're here?
Yeah, should we open for little questions just before we finish? I guess someone was asking you about Canada.
Sure.
Someone was asking, oh, here. So, Heather, what would you say about Canada to anyone who wants to go?
It depends what that person is interested in. Canada is very big. There's a lot of different weather. And I mean, you can really find anything you want here. There is a lot of space.
They have bears.
There are bears. I'll tell you that. A friend of mine I saw was eating bear. Have you ever thought to eat a bear before?
Oh, no. Please. They're so cute.
I know. Oh, like a big one. Anyways, we'll come back to that.
Do people eat bears?
People do, apparently.
Oh, come on.
I know. Not I. But they said
people eat horses. But anyways, another subject.
So Canada, it is fantastic in the summer and so awful in the winter, unless you are someone who enjoys the snow and snow activities. There's lots of opportunities for work. And right now it's quite nice because everybody who got laid off because of COVID is getting an income. So thanks. Thanks, Daddy Trudeau.
Not a bad idea.
He's keeping the food on the table for most people. So yeah, it's a nice place. I recommend it if you were to travel. I would say come in the, just not winter.
And what's the average, like, is it like 30, minus 30 for you during the winter?
Yeah. In Ottawa.
Yeah.
Because this, I have like traumatic disorder from it. Every winter it's so terrible and you hate it. And then by springtime and summer, I forget that we get winter. And then it creeps up on you again. And you're like, no, I forgot I hated this.
And how long does it last? Like 3 months is the...
Well, it depends again where you live. So I am in Ottawa in Ontario. And so we get pretty long winters for whatever reason. So like the winter season can be 5, maybe 6 months sometimes.
6 months?
Yeah, if we have an early winter, like growing up, it used to snow on Halloween. So that's October 31st.
That's early.
And then sometimes you'd still have snow into March.
That's a lot of snow. And average, how many inches?
It varies, again, depending where you live. Sometimes you can get anywhere. Like sometimes it will snow 1.5 feet in an afternoon. Sometimes it will snow 2 inches. Depending on the year, like where my cousins live, they can get 6 feet over a weekend. Mm-hmm. So you have to go out and shovel your driveway, I don't know, 4 times a day, which is why I do not have a driveway.
That makes sense. I wouldn't have a car, you know, just go, you know, Uber everywhere if I had to shovel and everything.
In the winter, yeah, it's a real hassle. We have a new question. And about to immigrate, I have a friend who lives in Alberta, and she makes me think lately about moving to Canada. Do you know something about it? Do you know someone who has moved to Canada? I do not. I don't know anyone who's come from Brazil. I would imagine
from a different country.
What's that?
But maybe from a different country to Canada.
I remember, well, my old roommate Tom had been here. Look into different visas. That's all you need. I think that the Canadian-Brazilian border is open now, because when I visited, when I first looked into visiting quite a few years ago, there was a specific visa you needed to get in. And so I know that there is an agreement between the two countries that you can travel. Mm-hmm. I would definitely Google what you need to leave. You know, because when I went to England, I had to get a visa from Canada to tell me I could go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it all depends.
Every different country, they all have different rules. So obviously for Brazilians to go to England, there is a rule. For you Canadian going there, it's a different rule. So it's always a matter of searching, maybe contacting agencies. There are specialists on this.
Yeah, I used an agency when I went over too. That's a good idea.
Yeah, because they this is their specialty, you know, this is what they do the whole day. So they were supposed to be on board of what are the new rules, because rules change, right? When I went to England, for example, in 2007, Brazilians could, as a student, we could work part-time with a student visa. But now you cannot do that anymore. So many people ask me, oh, can I go and get a student visa and work in London? So I know, because I've been following the rules and things that happens in England. I know that now Brazilians, we cannot work even with a student visa. You're not allowed to. But in Ireland, that's different. You know, in Ireland, you can part-time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Change. Right. So last one.
Heather, what do you think about aliens? That's a good question. What do I think about aliens? I don't think that they have that green look that, you know, that kind of fake thing.
But maybe gray. There are grays.
Maybe. I definitely think there's other life out there. But I don't know if in this lifetime we're going to get to see it. I don't know how far away it is.
You think so?
There's got to be. I can't see that there's this whole universe and we're the only life forms and like look at us destroying our planet. No, there's other people out there.
I think we should be able to see in our lifetime.
Oh, okay.
Well, obviously, these are all guessings here, right? But if I had to guess, just guessing, I think in our lifetime we should be able to see some flying saucers around.
All right. I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Like, come on. Time to, you know, like...
I've seen enough Star Trek. I know there's other things out there.
Yeah, for how long are you going to be hiding, you guys? Just come on, let's be friends. I think they're afraid of us.
Let's be friends. I know. Listen, I think that like humans need to sort out our differences so that other things will want to come see us. Because right now, all they see from the sky is like things like, burning. Like I wouldn't want to visit.
I'm not going there. You know, I'm not going to risk it, you know.
The house is on fire. Like, I'll go to the neighbors, you know. Next galaxy over.
Yeah, I really can't wait. I can't wait for this disclosure. But let's see. Let's see what's going to happen for the next few weeks. Well, Elon Musk is already working on it, right?
Yeah, I think that dude is going to help us out in our quest to see this.
He's doing his part.
Good. Yeah, see, that's his purpose. He needs to...
Just help us, please, Elon Musk. As I've heard, right, maybe max 5 years, we should have a squad going to the moon.
Okay.
5 years, that's not a lot, you see?
So soon.
If we can go to the moon, maybe we have neighbors. Well, we can do a whole episode just on this subject.
Absolutely. Things that we'd like to see in the world. But good question, though. I like that. It got me thinking.
I loved it. My love, thank you so much. I love you so much. You know that, don't you?
I love you, too.
It's always so good to talk to you. And I'm so happy and honored to have the chance to share a bit with my audience and my lovely fast movers, you know, a little bit about our friendship and how our world can expand, you know, once we know English, we can connect to people that maybe, you know, we would never have the chance to connect to, like people that, you know, here we probably would never have snow, but I have someone who lives somewhere that has snow, or that there is snow. And, you know, we can share our feelings like, how is winter for you? Like, maybe I would never talk to my real neighbor here about, what do you feel about winter? He'll be like, all right, you know, but this is the kind of conversation it would be, you know, different and bringing us different synapses in our minds, you know, and it expands. Once you are able to talk about different subjects that you are not going to talk to your real neighbor, it enables you to have different connections, different synapses, and expand your consciousness in so many different ways. So I'm really pleased. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for learning English.
it took me some researches, but yeah, here I am.
So thank you for having me. This has been so great. I love your face.
Thank you.
And it's so nice to chat to you every week from now on.
Yeah, that's real now. Now we don't have any other excuses. So fast movers, thank you so much. If you are listening to this audio, please remember to subscribe to my channel too. You can always be with us live every Friday at 12:34. But if you're not able to be with us live, you can watch it later on YouTube, and you can also follow our audio on inamara.com/podcast. Oh, we need a song. We need a jingle, but anyway. Thank you guys again. Love you, Heather. Talk to you next Friday.
Goodbye. Bye.